especially for young people who, oh my goodness, are experiencing so many different emotions, so many new emotions.
Hello, and welcome to the Anxious and Ambitious podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, and I'm on a mission to change the way that we think about anxiety. Oftentimes, it can feel like anxiety can get in the way of our ambitions, and I'm here to tell a different story. In each episode, we'll explore how we can manage our anxiety, heal our nervous system, and conquer our fears so we can shine as our most authentic self, go after our biggest dreams, and achieve our greatest ambitions. You'll hear stories from people who have been there themselves and strategies from experts who can help you thrive. Are you ready? Let's do this. Welcome back to another episode of Anxious and Ambitious. I'm your host, Nicole, and I am so excited for today's episode because we are going to be diving into a discussion around anxiety and adolescence and why every person, and especially every young person, should have a coach or a mentor. We'll also be discussing much more, but really this topic is so near and dear to my heart because my experience with anxiety really started and reached its height during adolescence. And I'm sure for many of us, you can probably relate. So today I'm so honored to be joined by a very special guest, Amanda Chatsky-Constantino. And Amanda is an award-winning National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach who specializes in coaching teens and young adults who are struggling with life challenges and through the stresses of transitioning into adulthood, which can be a really stressful and anxiety-inducing time. She has a heart filled with passion to empower every young person to understand the power of their mind and unlock their innate wisdom and how to really build a thriving future. So she combines her passion along with her proven results-based programs to help her clients feel equipped with essential life skills and effective goal setting tools and stress management strategies, which we'll be kind of unpacking and gathering some of her wisdom today so that hopefully we can become more confident, self-motivated, independent, and resilient now and throughout the rest of our lives. So Amanda continues to commit herself to making it her life mission for every young person to have a coach, which I'm really excited to unpack this mission with you, Amanda. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Nicole. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes. And so to start off, I know I shared a little bit about you, but I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey and what led you to becoming this coach for teens and young adults.
So similar to as you were sharing, I can definitely relate to this struggle as a teenager because I really struggled as a teen. And I think that was really the beginning of my journey because that gave me the passion and the motivation and the inspiration to do what I do now. And this is where that whole mission came from for every young person to have a coach, because I believe that if I had someone like me as a teenager, it really would have changed my life. And I think many of us can relate to this, you know, the stress, the anxiety, the confusion, the identity crisis as teens, right? And so for me, that's really what brought me there and my own personal journey. And also seeing, you know, many friends and family members at that age really struggling and then not getting the support that they needed and continuing to struggle into adulthood. It's just, to me, it's a not okay. It's no.
Yeah, it's crazy. So many teens are struggling. And I'm sorry to hear that you kind of had similar struggles, but also like grateful in a way because it's brought you to this place to now be able to help so many others. I think you shared a statistic with me that like 70% of young adolescents are experiencing anxiety. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is just crazy. I'd love to hear a little bit about like, if you have any opinions on why you think this is the case, like why you think anxiety is so prevalent in adolescence.
Yeah. So gosh, this is a big question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of that really was heightened after the pandemic. And I know it's like we kind of want to put that in the rearview mirror and forget that it ever happened. But the fact of the matter is that it did. And so I even noticed with a lot of teens in my world that maybe those who weren't even really struggling that much with anxiety now were, because it was a whole different world, right? And they're experiencing things that no one really knows how to handle. And we were all trying our best, but that, so I want to say that for sure is definitely a big factor. And I think a lot of what we do now is we're very reactive, right? It's like, oh, we're noticing the very like severe signs of anxiety, and now we're addressing it, which, don't get me wrong, that's still a great thing. But when we can take a proactive approach, right? And be more proactive in the sense of like noticing those beginning warning signs of anxiety and really understanding what are the causes. And some, you know, just there's so many different factors that contribute to that anxiety. And so I think really recognizing those early signs is really, really important.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the fact that you mentioned it's so multifaceted, I think that this is key, because a lot of the times when we think about it, at least for me, when I originally got diagnosed with anxiety, I was like, okay, this is a mental illness. Like something's wrong with my brain. It's like what I originally thought, right? This is a chemical imbalance, which of course that can play a part, but there's also so many factors that can go into it. And something that you stood out to me that you mentioned was identity crisis, right? Because during adolescence, it's this time where you're really deciding, who am I and who do I want to be? What is the impact I want to have in this world? No longer are you just being taken care of, but now you get to start really creating an impact on others too. So it can feel daunting and overwhelming. I'm curious, do you help your clients through that?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big piece. It's really... So my ultimate goal is really for young people to understand who they are at the core, find their strengths, find their values, understand what their beliefs like at their core are, right? Because we take some on that maybe aren't as useful, but helping them to really express their authentic selves in the world. Like, I think that that is the greatest gift that anyone can give to themselves and to the world.
Yeah. And it's something I think many of us struggle with even beyond adolescence, is who even is our authentic self? We've, especially later you get into life, the more masks you've started to wear and the more roles, and then you start to get detached. Like, who actually am I? So I agree, like trying to understand how can we actually express our authentic selves, and thinking about this idea of, if I had known how to do that in adolescence, like how powerful that would be. Mm-hmm. So do you have any like tools or I guess like strategies that you walk them through to help them uncover their authentic self and sort of like dig behind all of these, like you said, values and beliefs that may not even be theirs?
Yeah. So a lot of it is really reflecting, right? A lot of journaling practices and stuff like that to really help them to dig into, you know, what is really going on subconsciously, right? And trying to go deeper than just the, oh, well, we go about the everyday day to day and, you know, just that like hamster wheel, right? And also, there's a lot of really powerful assessment tools out there, which are like a quiz, right? So we do a quiz to kind of figure out, well, what are your strengths? What are your, you know, top values? What are the qualities that are just your innately gifted with, right? Because we all have different strengths. We all have different things that we're just innately good at. And I think that sometimes we get lost, especially for teenagers, they get so lost in comparing themselves to others. It's like, oh, well, my friend is good at this, or, oh, that, you know, influencer on TikTok, like they're really good at this. And so you get caught up. And I think even this is true for adults too, right? We can relate to this, getting caught up in like comparing ourselves to others, right? And so I think really helping young people to identify their special gifts and their strengths through seeing that in black and white, like even just getting it out of their heads, because sometimes I think they don't even realize, and I can relate to this myself too, is like, sometimes I don't even realize that I'm really good at something because I'm just good at it. It's not something I think about. I'm just good at it. And so helping teens to recognize, oh, that is a strength. That thing that you think you're just good at, someone else isn't very good at that. And so helping them to see those things, and I think take it from just like that hamster wheel every day, just repeating those things, or just like not even noticing that these are things that they're good at, and really, yeah, just getting it like on paper, getting it outside of themselves so they are able to witness it in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think it's so common for all of us to have like this unconscious competence. Like we think, oh, everybody must be good at this thing. It's like, no, actually you're better than 80% of people at that thing. You should really, you know, hone in on that. But I think in school, it becomes so difficult, like especially for these teens and adolescents who are going through the formal school system of, okay, well, maybe I didn't get the best grade on that. And they start to place all these judgments and pressures on their abilities and on their skills and really almost try to like put themselves into a box. What comes to mind for me is going through all these like profile tests, trying to figure out what my strengths were and what careers would be best suited for me. And it felt really just very cookie cutter, but it seemed like every box was really just another school program because it was just in the system, right? So what do you want to do was less about what are your innate strengths and your gifts and more about, well, what school programs are available for you to take the next step?
Yeah, this is so important. And I think it's so funny that you mentioned those tests to see, because for me, I still remember this, and this was in ninth grade, and we had done like what you're saying, this career test, and it was supposed to tell you what career, like the ideal career based on like whatever 200 questions that you answered. And for me, I still remember this because I can't get it out of my mind. What my result was I should have been a locksmith.
Interesting.
And I'm like, that is so far from anything that I could possibly imagine doing with my life. Like, my mission and my passion is so rooted in supporting young people that a locksmith is like, it didn't even make sense for me then. But I think also to what you're saying, right, is sometimes then I knew that that didn't resonate. I knew that that wasn't who I was. But I think what we can do is we can make the mistake sometimes, because I even saw some of my friends who they got that odd response and they ran with it. They went into the program, you know, to become the locksmith. They did all the things that, you know, the blah, 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 like the steps to become the locksmith, later only to realize that that actually wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't something that they actually enjoyed doing. And so I think the difference with what I do with teens and young adults is, yeah, we look at the results of these assessments, right? We look at the suggestions and ideas and things, but we use this as just inspiration, right? And then we really dissect it and we talk about like, well, do you think maybe you want to be a locksmith, right? Is that something that resonates with you? And sometimes getting into just having the conversation about it, not just looking like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to be a locksmith and just going for it, right? It's actually having the conversation and really thinking, okay, well, and again, this is helping young people to really look at those beliefs as well, because oftentimes those systems are just imposed on us, right? And so if we're even looking at, okay, well, this assessment, this quiz is telling us you should be a locksmith, right? But we're not just taking that as truth, we're evaluating and questioning, well, is that really true for me? And so we can do the same when we look at our belief systems, right? And like a lot of this is writing that down and actually like analyzing and really discussing each of those things. So it isn't just oh, okay, yeah, that's my belief system. That's, I'm a locksmith. Like, that's it, you know, just like taking it and running with it. It's really questioning all of those things and having that time to intentionally reflect, I think, is the most valuable thing that we can do. So that's kind of how I would differentiate just like, oh, let's do a career quiz versus let's actually look at the results of that and talk about it, really think about it, really look at, yeah, you know, is this something that makes sense to me? Because I think we have all the answers. Even though they're young, you still have all of the answers inside of you. And maybe sometimes you need a little bit more guidance on trying to figure that out because we're so used to being told, right? We're so used to being told, this is what to believe. This is what you should do with your life. This, like all of the things that we should. And so I think being able to look at that through a new lens. So yeah, that was like a very long answer, but I hope that that's helpful.
No, that is so helpful. And I think that you really highlighted the power of talking with a coach in general, but even for these teens, in the sense that you're helping them to actually, like you said, intentionally reflect. And the word that stood out to me was to be curious, like to be mm-hmm. curious about, is this actually for me? Is this really aligned with my values? Is it something that I want to create? Is it going to allow me to live the life that my heart wants to live? Or is it just what the numbers told me to do, or the subject that I was best at in school, or, you know, like what the random career test outputted for me? This idea of actually being curious, because then that gives them the conscious control to actually create their lives instead of just be like passive consumers, which I think is what we're so often trained to be in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when you're creating that curiosity, what comes to mind for me is when I was originally diagnosed with having anxiety as a teen, I took it on as a label of like, okay, this is who I am. Like I mentioned, okay, maybe something's wrong with my brain. This is a chemical imbalance. And I brought it in as a part of my identity, really. And looking back on it, I really wish that I would have been more curious about it and started to learn more about my emotional experiences, because a lot of the things that we label as anxiety are really gifts. Like being able to see into the future and see all these different possibilities and feel them, that can be used as such a superpower to manifest your future, as opposed to feeling like, oh my gosh, the future is so daunting. And I think this is something that you help your clients with as well, right? It's like emotional labeling and like becoming curious about their emotions.
Yeah, for sure. So I think you nailed it when you said, you know, we get confused, we get lost in whether the emotion is anxiety or so many things, but I think anxiety is a really big one that it happens with, right? And we probably say like, and then there's maybe like anger mixed in there, or, you know, this like, but the anxiety specifically, I really think that helping to understand what our body is trying to tell us, right? Because through all of these emotions, through all of these things, it's really just a signal, right? Our body's just giving us a sign. And if we can learn to understand what these things are, understand the gifts, right? The gift in them, like you said, then we can transform that for ourselves, and we can look at it like in a completely different way. And I think being able to, especially for young people who, oh my goodness, are experiencing so many different emotions, so many new emotions, or, you know, just like hormonally, like all the things that are just going on in their bodies, it's a lot all at once. And so helping them to really understand what is happening and identify, oh, this is this emotion and that's this emotion. And also knowing that I think we're often, and maybe this is a bit of a generalization, but I think from my experience that we're really limited in our even emotional vocabulary. Like the amount of emotion words, right? It's like, oh, I'm mad, I'm happy, I'm sad. Like these are quite familiar. But when we talk about like passion, I'm elated, like I'm depressed. Like maybe that one is a little bit more well known these days, but there's other emotions, right? Like there's actually hundreds of emotions. So not only just helping teens identify, oh, well, I'm feeling anxious. It's like, well, what layer of anxiety is this? And really understanding more about, or expanding, I should say, rather expanding their emotional vocabulary, I think can be huge in helping them to support themselves and their emotional well-being, right? Emotional intelligence is something that I think is so underrated, but it's so important. It's crucial. It's crucial.
Yeah. I mean, emotional intelligence is more of an indicator of success than actual intelligence, or I guess that's not what they call it, but you know, EQ is actually more of an indicator of success than IQ, which mm-hmm. I found that to be crazy when I first learned about it. So I love that you're helping these young people to develop that emotional vocabulary. That's 100% something I wish I would have had in my toolkit back when I was struggling, because everything was just, oh my gosh, that makes me anxious. I feel so anxious, anxious, anxious. When it's like, well, are you stressed about that? Are you maybe dreading that thing, right? There's so many other words. Those are just a couple that can come and give us a lot of a better understanding of what we're actually going through, which was definitely one of the main struggles for me was, well, I'm anxious and I don't know why, and I don't know what to do about it. So if you can relate to this, like I would give you this challenge of starting to unbreak, like even, you know, using a coach to help you do this if it feels uncomfortable, especially because sometimes doing this internal work can feel really uncomfy. but breaking down, like, how am I actually feeling? What other words can be used to describe that? Because you're going to see even underneath anger, you mentioned, right? A lot of the times we're actually just feeling sad and it gets expressed as anger. So I love that you help them do that. And along the lines of like toolkit, I feel like what you're doing is helping these adolescents to develop like the tools for teens, love alliteration, to take into the rest of their life to actually succeed. So aside from this like emotional vocabulary, what other tools do you think are really vital for teens to have in that toolkit?
Oh my goodness, how long do we have?
What are the top ones that come to mind?
You know, I think really there are so many. And I think that for each teen, it might be a little bit different because we all struggle with different things. I think what we've touched on so far is this, like understanding your strengths, knowing who you are, right? Like understanding who you are, looking at, yes, your emotional vocabulary. I think being able to have some type of communication skills, I think that's really important. Like, how do we communicate not only, you know, how we're feeling, right? Whether it's to ourselves or to others, but also creating an environment for ourselves that we're able to communicate with others, whether it's something that we are, we're, is a positive thing, but also when we're trying to set a boundary and it feels a little bit tricky on how do we do that? And, or even just asking for help, right? Like this could be with parents, this could be with teachers, this could be with your friends, like this could be with so many different, in so many different relationships. But I think that communication is huge. It's really such a big tool, and being able to, just navigate relationships. Communication is one of the most important things. What else would I say? I feel like those are kind of like the top ones that first come to mind.
Yeah, no, but like, I think that communication one is so huge because when I think about my ability to communicate at that age, it was so poor, not only with others, but really with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like that internal dialogue, oh my gosh, it can be so brutal, especially when you're a kid and you're going through all those hormonal changes. Like if you've seen that show, I know they had a spinoff recently called Human Resources, but they talk about the hormone monster and how like the hormone monster is like putting these horrible thoughts into your head. And that was something for me that was so powerful to understand is that, okay, these thoughts that are coming into my head, they're not all me, right? Of course, I'm not trying to say, oh, the hormone monster is doing it, but the fact that we don't need to identify with these thoughts that can be so overwhelming. So learning to instead, you know, be that observer of these thoughts that are going on and learning how to actually communicate with yourself. It just like gives me goosebumps. I wish I could have had that tool in my toolkit as a teen.
I'm right there with you. And I think so many, even adults, we can relate, right? That no one ever told us about this. No one ever told us that there was like this, that inner critic, right? That judges us, that just is so nasty. It's like, I often call this with my teens, it's like that inner mean girl, that inner bully, like just that mean voice in your head. And so one of the practices that I have all of my teens do, because I think it's so powerful, is we talk about this inner critic, right? And we talk about how it's never going to go away. It's always going to be there. But when we can call on our like inner superhero or inner cheerleader and actually get into dialogue, then this inner critic will quiet down. Right? Or it's always going to be there. And so what we do is we don't let it, if we're imagining, you know, we're driving in a car, we don't let the inner critic be the driver, right? They're not allowed in the driver's seat, but they're going to be in the passenger seat, right? And we can tell them, don't worry about it. Like, I got this, right? And really actually having that conversation. And I think a huge piece of that is what we do is we label it or name it, I should say. Labels sometimes are a little, but we name it. So we give it a name other than our own. Ooh. So it, for example, right? If you notice, like, instead of this anxiety, it's Bob, or the inner critic's name is, I don't know, negative Nelly, like something, right? Like, and whatever name you want to give it. And when, even as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, hey, negative Nelly. And it's kind of funny, right? We laugh. So it kind of is a break state. It gets you out of that like cycle of listening, but also it allows you to acknowledge it, have an awareness of it. But then by separating from it, we can tame it and let it know, hey there, Nelly. Hey there, Bob. Like, thanks so much for your input. However, I got this. I got this, right? So we're separating ourselves from, because it really isn't. Yes, it may be a part of that inner voice, but it's not that true, like our, that inner light. It's not our, our inner spark, right? So separating from that, I think like teens love this one. And it's always so funny because we'll be in a coaching session and then like, you know, I have the name of their, I'll remember the name. And then suddenly they'll say something like, oh, hey, Bob. And we both start laughing because we're like, oh yeah, that's, it's so true. There it is, right? Because we get so used to hearing it that we almost forget, or we don't even realize that it's talking. We've allowed it into the driver's seat and we got to tell it, okay, get back in the passenger seat. So that's one that I would definitely add to every young person's toolkit because, oh, that would have transformed my entire life.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love that you name it for them too, and make it, like you said, that's such a pattern interrupted. It makes it fun. If you can laugh at yourself a little bit in the process, it's much better than judging yourself along the way. And the name that comes to mind for me is like my inner Karen. Like I would, yeah. I find myself when I'm getting into those really heightened anxiety states, it's like, I just want to control everything. And like, you know, I find myself a lot more tense and uptight as opposed to just being more chill and relaxed. I'm just like, okay, hi, Karen. We don't need to control everything today. We're okay. So that's that. A lovely exercise. I love that you mentioned that. And this has been like probably one of the biggest parts for my anxiety journey was realizing that I was different than that voice. Because for a long time, I felt like I can't live with myself. Like this anxiety constantly looping through my head is exhausting, right? But when I started to notice, like, if you can't live with yourself, there must be a difference between me and myself. Like, this is not me. These are just thoughts that are going through my head, and I have power over changing them, just like you have power to build muscles in your body, like, for example. So I love that you're empowering teens in this way, that inner voice. Does that spark anything else like that you think is really important for teens to do with regards to going inwards? Because I think this is something we just so often avoid.
Well, something you mentioned there was the muscle. I think what's really important with all of these things, right? I mean, you can have the most incredible toolbox ever. I mean, we could sit here for hours and I could give you a million tools. There's so many tools, right? But I think what's so important about that is knowing that these are muscles and knowing that, you know what, you might find a tool that you love, like this, you know, naming your inner critic, like you might love that. I find most people do, but you might not. And that's okay, right? And I really want to stress the importance of finding tools that work for you and then putting them to work, right? Like the muscle, like we don't just go to the gym once and expect to have a six pack. Like you got to keep going and you got to keep working at it. So what I say is just that this instilling this hope that, you know what, you can find the tools that work for you. There were many that I found that didn't resonate at first. Once I practiced them, I realized, oh, wait, maybe that is more useful than I thought. But there were some that I got rid of because they just didn't work for me. But I see, you know, maybe a friend and it really works for them. So I would say finding, yes, you can find all of the tools, but finding the ones that work for you is key. And they may not be the same as your friend, your mother, your brother. Like they could be completely different, but as long as they work for you, that's what matters.
Yeah, that is so key. And I mean, it's so true. This is so individual. If there was able to be a step-by-step manual for this is how you go about doing life, and these are the tools that you use to emotionally manage that you'll never feel anxious again, then that would exist and we wouldn't be having this conversation and there wouldn't be a need for coaches and things like that, right? So I think this again just drives home that importance of working with somebody outside of yourself, because often it's hard for us to read our own label, right? We're stuck inside the bottle. So you're sort of like helping these kids to do that for themselves, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's amazing to see those aha moments for them. Those moments that they learn a new tool and you can see that this has sparked something for them. You know, that this is something that they will carry with them for the rest of their lives. And I have this like little like moment that really touches my heart, because I think, and we've mentioned it so many times here today, but this, what this would have done for me as a teenager, truly.
Yeah. And so that actually leads me to my next question, which is for you, because you've mentioned this has been a huge part of your journey too. And I mentioned that little sentence that really helped me. Did you have like a specific turnaround moment that really helped you in your journey, or was it more gradual?
It was probably more of a gradual thing, but then there was like certain moments, I guess I would say, along the journey. But for the most part, I really feel, because many people are like, oh, well, what was that one moment? And I can never answer that question because I feel like I don't really think I have just like one moment. There was many like small little ones along the way. Well, little, I say that now because I'm like past it. But in those moments, they weren't little, they were huge and they were big and they were scary and they were just so overwhelming. But looking back now, I can see like there were certain little breadcrumbs that were sprinkled along my path. And each one, no matter how much I was struggling, there was always this inner voice for me that told me that there's something better. There's something more for you out there. And so that's why I would probably say like in a gradual sense, because I always had that. And I also really had to figure it out for myself. Like I didn't know coaches. I didn't know that these things really existed. And I think they are definitely becoming more popular now, but mental health wasn't something that was really talked about much like how it is. And so I actually thought, like, similar to what you were saying, that, oh, there's just something wrong with me? And so hearing that, you know, voice inside tell me that, no, this, there's something more for you out there. There's something more. And so I just, I would read, I would like, I fell into the rabbit hole of personal development and just soaked everything up and just kept learning more and more and more. And the more I learned, I realized how all of those little or big experiences added up and brought me to where I am today. And so I think anyone who is listening and is struggling, know that I think, and both of us can kind of relate to this, right? That we've turned those struggles into something really beautiful and really powerful and having that impact to support others, right? So that they don't have to struggle like we did in whatever ways, we may be doing it in different ways in the world, but we're just knowing that, I think for me, I was able to see other people who struggled too. And then they turned their life around and saw that, you know, things were different for them. And that was just something that was really inspiring for me. So yeah, not necessarily that would answer your question directly, but that was what came to me.
No, that's beautiful. And what it made me think about is like, I think this idea of going down the personal development rabbit hole is really common for a lot of people, especially if you're someone who's ambitious and like you have these goals for yourself, you want to achieve them, you get into the personal development world and it's just like a fire hose and you're like, okay, come on, spray me. I'm here for it, especially if you've been struggling. But at the same time, it can be really easy to kind of almost get lost down that rabbit hole of learning, of trying to like achieve all of the things. And then it just takes us further away from ourselves. And so I'm curious for you, because you're really ambitious too. I think you mentioned that you have like 5,000 goals or something, but how you balance like this ambition with also staying in touch with yourself.
Great question. So I think what really helps me stay grounded is having a really specific like morning routine, night routine, and it just brings me back every time. And I think having the 5,000 goals, yes, it keeps me motivated and inspired, but also that was sort of my like, because there are so many ideas and there's so many thoughts. And so it's like, it feels like, oh, if it's not happening now, it's never going to happen. Right. That's what inspired me to create it, because I thought, oh, if I don't write, you know, all of these, or if I don't do all these things right now, they'll never happen. And I mean, 5,000 goals to happen right now is extremely ambitious. And yeah. So I think, you know, having those grounding practices, whether it's through journaling, meditation, things like that, or having my own coaches, right? And also taking those 5,000 goals and looking at, okay, that's something that I want to accomplish. But what is the one small thing? Like, what is that 1% thing that I can do today to move the needle just a little bit closer? I don't have to, you know, publish my book tomorrow, but I could write a page. I could write a paragraph. So it's really having those grounding practices during my day and like the morning and night and really bringing myself back to myself. And then when I'm looking at my 5,000 goals, breaking that down into those, okay, well, what is, yeah, that small, what is that small thing that I can do?
Yeah, that's beautiful. What's the 1% instead of, you know, we're often focused on the gap instead of the gain. Like we're so focused on, well, what's the 1% that I missed instead of what's the 1% that I actually made progress on today? We put so much pressure on ourselves. And I think a lot of the time, especially in teenagehood, that we do this for like external validation, right? It's an easy way for us to get love is, well, I really did great on this test, or, you know, I scored the winning point in the soccer game or whatever it may be. And so I'm curious for your people, how do you help them to create their own criteria for living their life so that they're not just relying on this external validation?
So I think that kind of is like bringing us back to the beginning of talking about, well, what are their values? And are they living in alignment with those values? And also helping them do the same, right? That if they have the big goal, you know, I'm going to be the doctor, I'm going to be the professional soccer player, like whatever the goal is, and helping them also to break down into small and celebrating the small things. Like every session starts with, well, what can we celebrate? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just celebrating that I woke up this morning. And really helping them have those gratitude practices, right? Creating that attitude of gratitude and being intentional with it. Mm-hmm. And noticing, not, oh, what's missing, but noticing, okay, I'm not there yet. That's one of my favorite three-letter words after everything. They're like, I can't do that yet. And so it's to the point where they'll do it for me because they know it's coming. But sometimes just, you know, adding that yet, and then it's okay, but in this moment, what is the 1%? What is that small thing that I can celebrate that's getting me towards the bigger goal? So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I think that that idea of celebration is something that we could all use more of in our lives. I was actually just talking with Amanda before we started recording about how her son's birthday is coming up in just a couple days. It'll be past after this episode releases, but my birthday is coming up as well. And it's something where we always forget to celebrate ourselves, right? So I love that you help your clients to celebrate every single time, celebrating those wins. And I do this too with my clients, is like, how are you actually celebrating too?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because we don't do that, is actually creating these mini celebrations for ourselves. And then we wonder why we're so burned out.
Right. And it's like, we wait until the big thing, right? We wait until we have the degree to celebrate. And why aren't we celebrating that I made it to class today?
Yeah.
Why aren't we celebrating those? Because the little things are what get us to the big things. We wouldn't have the big things if we didn't do the little things in between. But for some reason, it's like maybe like this like societal norm, I guess, that we celebrate only the big stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, I find having these really like intentional, like small practices in between, like this is maybe a really silly example, but it's a small example kind of, so it makes sense. So for me, so my mission is for every young person to have a coach. And so in that, it doesn't mean that tomorrow a million young people are going to have coaches, right? I mean, this would be fabulous, but it takes time. And so for me, every time I start a new cohort or I'm bringing on a new client, I buy myself a mug. I love mugs. I'm so obsessed with mugs, but like the ones with like the cute sayings or like, you know, and so that to me is like, that's my little mini celebration. And I'm eventually probably going to have to think of something else because my cupboard is like overflowing, but it's, you know, that celebration for me, it's something where, you know, it's intentional, right? And it's also something too, that's in my physical environment that I can see, because I could beat myself up and be like, oh, you don't have, you know, all teens don't have a coach yet. Like, again, I'm saying yet, I'm so used to it, but I could beat myself up and say, all teens don't have a coach. You're failing. You're horrible. It's never going to happen. But when I can open my cupboard and I can see, wow, that's a lot of mugs. That's a lot of support, right? That's a lot of young people out there who do have a coach, who have had the experience of having a coach. And so though this is like a really small example, but I think that having those intentional ways of celebrating, and again, this is something that, you know, different things I celebrate in different ways. That was just the first example that came to mind as I'm like looking at my mug here on my desk, but there's so many different things that we can do to celebrate. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be, maybe it's, you know, a bubble bath, or maybe it's, I don't know, like those small things, or maybe it's going somewhere or doing something like special, right? Because yeah, I do think that we unfortunately miss those little mini celebrations in between because we're just waiting for the big one.
Yeah, it's so true. And then we miss those little bursts of fuel that we could have to propel us forwards. Instead, we're just like, no, must do it the hard way, must climb this ladder. So that was a great example. And I love that you collect mugs. I love mugs too. So that's so fun. Well, this has been like a fabulous conversation. And I feel like we could talk for so long about these different tools. Cause like you said, there's so many ways to help these adolescents with their anxiety. And I love that you have set out on this mission to help every young person have a coach. Now, to wrap this up here, do you have any final advice or like anything on your heart that we haven't yet talked about that you would like to share with our listeners?
My last final thoughts are always, you are doing the best you can, no matter what, right? You're doing the best you can with the knowledge you have, with the tools you have, and by being here and listening to us have this conversation, you're a different person than when you started. So have a celebration, celebrate yourself. I want to invite you all to have an intentional celebration, but just know that you truly are doing your best. I think we can be so hard on ourselves. And I always want people to know that, you know what, the mistake you made or the thing you're trying to quote unquote fix, you're doing the best you can with what you know. So give yourself some credit, give yourself some grace, give yourself a nice big hug, love on yourself. You deserve it. You truly, truly do. And as cliche as it may sound, you are worth it and you are enough. You truly are.
Yes. Thank you so much for leaving us with that. That is such an important thing to remember. So to our listeners, give yourself a hug and seriously make this a moment to go and intentionally celebrate something. What are you celebrating? What are you proud of yourself? Even if it's small, like just finishing this episode, that's something to be proud of, right? A lot of people quit things before they finish. So thank you so much, Amanda, for joining us. I really appreciate it. This has been amazing. And to our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that you have found this conversation to be helpful, enlightening, and hopefully empowering along your journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend if you think that they could benefit from it. Like 70% of people or young adults are struggling with anxiety. So a lot of people could really benefit from hearing this. So please share it and be part of this ripple effect. And we'd love to hear from you. Now, Amanda, where can our listeners connect with you?
So I'm all over social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn. So you can find me. I know my name is a little bit long. The website is hellotrueself.com. That might be a little bit easier to spell. You can find me there. And on Instagram, I'm at hello.trueself. And yeah, there's so many ways to get in touch. And so if anyone has any questions, please do reach out, even if, you know, you're not sure whether coaching is for you or if I'm the coach for you. I have a really large network and I would love to make a connection or referral if that's something that I can help with. So yeah, thank you so much for having me, Nicole. This was so awesome.
Oh, that's so awesome. And yes, please do reach out to Amanda. Like we've been talking about, every person needs a coach and there's got to be somebody out there for you. And we'd love to hear from you if this struck a chord with you. If you have any questions, just reach out on social media. I'll be sure to link all of Amanda's links as well as mine down in the episode notes. So you can just click through there and find us nice and easy. Thank you so much for tuning in and I'll see you next time for another episode of Anxious and Ambitious.